Thank you, Jean-Claude, and good morning, everybody. So it's my pleasure to start this series of presentation. What I'm going to do is first to spend a bit of time on our achievements over the last 3 years, and then I would say exploring the future in terms of financials. So trying to convince you on first, I mean, the fact that we are going to continue working hard on competitiveness, but also that we are quite sensitive to growth. And you will see that growth for a chief financial officer, it also means potentially risk management. So we'll be spending a bit of time on that. And then I will also introduce some kind of new metrics, and in particular, return on capital employed, which is going to become a key metric for Thales. So this is really about combining growth and profitability to deliver value. So when we look at what happened to Thales over the last 3 years, it's quite obvious that we pursued a cost-cutting but no growth strategy. And when I say no growth strategy, we can look at the book-to-bill. This is what you see on the top left. You see a book-to-bill which over this 4 years period was around one, slightly below one, despite this very large contract that we signed in 2011, the upgrade of the Mirage 2000 in India. Putting this aside, our book-to-bill over this 4 years period was 0.97. So no growth on that. Now, if you look at the top right, which is our change in organic growth on an annual basis, so you see that -1% in 2010, 0.2011, 0.2012, and 2% in 2013. So clearly, a no-growth situation, which was, I would say, almost a strategy, as I mentioned, because all the focus was on cost-cutting. And it works quite well when you look at our performance plan, which was essentially focused on the reduction of purchasing costs and also the reduction of overspending with regard to the executions of our project. You see, I mean, bottom left, that we did quite good. So overall, approximately €100 million of annual savings per year with a total amount which is €329 million end of 2013 versus the reference base, which was at the end of 2009. So, and this works quite well with, I mean, as you see, this EBIT margin moving from 4.8% in 2010 up to 7.1% in 2013. Now, another way of looking at what we achieve is to look at the EBIT from 2010 to 2013. So we move from €629 million in 2010 to a bit more than €1 billion in 2013. If we put aside BCNS, which was not consolidated in 2010, you see, I mean, this is a €311 million growth over this 3 year period. And you see that out of those €311 million, €329 is coming from the performance plan and the cost-cutting program that we put together. So it's really, I mean, this cost-cutting that allowed us to achieve this level of profitability increase over these 3 years. You see, I mean, growth, less than €50 million in terms of impact. And also, and I think this is also quite a good thing, is that in this period, we continue investing in additional R&D expenses to get ready for the future. All in all, you see, I mean, an increase of almost €60 million in R&D spending, representing approximately 10% of the overall R&D spending on an annual basis. So clearly a will to continue spending resources on R&D to get ready for the future. So from that, I mean, what can we say about the future? First, we are going to continue working hard on competitiveness. What you see on this slide is six performance drivers being part of our Ambition 10 internal program. So those six performance drivers relate mainly to competitiveness. The first column that you see is our current, our assessment of the current maturity of each of those six performance drivers. The second column is the stake. What is the potential for each of these performance drivers? What is the stake in terms of competitiveness? And the last column is the impact on growth, because it's true that some of our performance drivers on competitiveness might also have a positive impact on growth. So what can we say? First, when we look at the first two ones, competitiveness in sourcing and excellence in project delivery, I mean, those are the two topics we work quite a lot over the last 3 years with quite a good success. And you see our current level of maturity is rather satisfactory. However, and because there's a lot at stake for these two performance drivers, we will continue to work hard on them. Second, when we look at efficiency of structure, this is, about indirect costs, support functions, but it is also information system. It is also, science. So all this this type of things on which there is a lot more we can do in terms of competitiveness. And this is in particular a topic on which Patrice Caine will be coming back. Now, engineering competitiveness, this is a new topic for us that we are tackling today. Once again, Patrice will come back on that later on. This is clearly the core of our activity. You see that our current assessment in terms of maturity is mixed with some good practices, but on the other hand, a number of situations where the level of maturity is not satisfactory. The impact on competitiveness is major, both in terms of this impact on engineering costs, but also because an effective engineering has a direct impact on the competitiveness of the solution that we deliver for our customers. Now, it's quite matter of fact that pursuing a growth strategy, this could result in excessive risk-taking. And I can tell you that as the CFO of Thales, it's really my duty to make sure that we'll develop this, this growth along with a disciplined risk management policy that we put in place at Thales. And I'm going to illustrate that with three examples. First example, a bid process. We put together what we think is quite a stringent a bid process. This bid process is jointly led by Patrice Caine and myself. And I can tell you that we spend time reviewing the key offers that we submit to our potential customers. As we also submit a great deal of offers per year, we also put together an escalation mechanism, which is a multi-criteria approach. We take into account, of course, the size of the bid. We take into account, for instance, the cash flow profile of the project. We take into account the terms and conditions, and with those multi-criteria, we put together these escalation mechanisms, which result in the key offer being approved collectively by Patrice and myself, and in some cases, we're asking Jean-Bernard Lévy to step in and to give also his view on that. And, I mean, what we're looking for here is to, of course, to make sure that people on the ground that work on those proposals are fully empowered, are fully accountable, but at the same time recognizing that risk starts when we submit an offer and making sure that we have, I would say, a rigorous process to put under control those bids. Now, it's also quite obvious that risk doesn't stop when we get the contract. And making sure that the project executions will be delivered smoothly is also critical to us. And here also, we have a review of our key projects. Here also, I mean, those reviews being managed by Patrice Kane and myself on a quarterly basis with, I would say, a drill-down approach. It's not, of course, not just a financial review, but we take into account all points of attention. I mean, anything, any elements that deserve attention. It can be, I mean, the schedule, it can be the level of resources, it can be, I mean, a snapshot on the technological developments. So any items that we think are worth to be looked at. Last point, and a third example in terms of risk management, the fact that we are investing in contract management. I have to say that, that Thales, as a group in the past, I would say, has not managed its project as efficiently as best-in-class companies. We are probably a bit lenient in the way we manage our contracts, and this is something that we are changing. We have decided to put under the same leadership the legal and the contract management function at Thales. We are investing quite a lot in training, both internally and externally. And we have also decided to set up a corporate team made up of, I would say, senior contract managers to review and to work on our key projects. So basically, you see, I mean, those are three examples of things, of processes, of initiatives that we put together, that we launch, in order to make sure that this growth will not be done at the expense of profitability. So this is, I mean, how, I mean, all of that will translate. So starting from 2013 EBIT margin, 7.1%, 8% under IFRS 10, 10, 11, and this is from this base that we provide this guidance, increasing this level of profitability by 150 to 200 basis points in the 2017-2018 time frame. And this level of profitability will allow us to bridge the gap with our peers. Our reference scenario, which underpins this progression in terms of EBIT margin, takes into account both this continuous work on competitiveness, but also some goals. Now, and I guess that Jean-Bernard yesterday night was quite clear, this is, I would say, a bulletproof guidance, which means that depending upon the level of growth that Thales will be able to deliver, we'll adjust the level of cost to ensure that we will comply with this 9.5 to 10% guidance in this time horizon. Now, one thing is EBIT, and as you have seen, I mean, we want to increase our EBIT, but we want to do more, and in particular, we want to continue working on the EBIT to cash flow conversion ratio. When you look at the past, this ratio was around 55%. The EBIT to cash was approximately 55% over the last 3 years. We have to be aware that there are various elements today that weigh on this conversion ratio. And in particular, the fact that today we consume reserves and loss-making contracts, reserves that we booked in 2009 and 2010. So we use those reserves, which result in a positive effect in our P&L, but of course with no cash impact. And we know that those loss-making contracts will be progressively phased out until 2017, at a time when this type of effects will no longer weigh on this conversion ratio. Second point, which is CapEx. You see, I mean, on this slide, clearly today, a trend up in CapEx, which is in particular linked to the fact that today we are upgrading some of our sites. What we need to understand is that Thales used to be, I would say, the traditional production company, and I would say that this time is almost over. Today, when you look at Thales as a company, we are an engineering company, which means that we engineer, which means that we develop new solutions with engineers. Then we buy equipment, components from the outside. Then we integrate those components, and then we test to make sure that our solutions are validated. So which means that we are no longer a production company with a need of a very large sites. What we need to do today is to have sites that ensure a full integration between engineering, integrations, and testing slash validations. This means that we need to change all the layout of our sites, making sure that our layouts allow us to have this full integration between these three components of our processes. This is also why, I mean, we're exiting some, I would say, the outdated sites, and linked to that is today a level of CapEx, which is quite high, and which will remain quite high until 2017, at a time when we think that the upgrading of our sites will be behind us, with Thales taking the full benefit from these upgrades. Which means that as from 2017-2018, we might consider that the level of CapEx and the level of D&A at Thales will look the same, which is not the case today, as you have seen. Now, cash flow is also a question of incentive. When we look at the way we manage cash flow in the past, it's true that until quite recently, until last year, we used to track cash flow at the level of countries. Only countries and country managers had cash flow incentives, which means that we didn't have any cash flow tracking, we didn't have any incentive on cash flow on the business line axis. And this is what we changed from the beginning of 2014, where today we have a tracking of cash flow performance at each crossing between business line and country. And you see, I mean, it changes the overall landscape. This allows us to give incentives for each manager at Thales. And you see, I mean, today, a complete map of cash flow tracking and cash flow incentives at Thales. This allows us to provide you a guidance in terms of EBIT to cash flow conversions. And moving from the 55%, we think that we can deliver progressively a level which is close to 65-70% in the next 4 years. Return on capital employed. This is a new metric for Thales. Of course, I mean the EBIT margin. We all know is the common aerospace and defense indicators, and it will continue to do so, of course. But we all know also that EBIT has a major limitation, which is it doesn't take into account the amount of capital that is needed to deliver this level of EBIT. And this is why we want to introduce a return on capital employed in our metrics at Thales, and in particular in our strategic planning process. This should allow us to consider or to, I would say, to adjust the way we allocate resources, self-financed R&D, capital expenditure, across our various business lines, taking into account the potential for profitable growth of each of these businesses. It should allow us to better anticipate the development of new businesses. A good example is services. Some services might require a very level of capital, and in this situation, even, I would say, modest EBITDA margin could result in a significant value creation. On the other side, you might have profitable services on an EBIT margin, but I would say a lousy return in capital employed if the level of capital which is needed is extremely high. So we'll take this into consideration to help us making, I would say, the wiser decisions in terms of investment. It is also to bring much more focus of management on value creation. It's true that to some extent, today, we might see managers that are considering that they need to invest to get, growth, to get additional EBIT. And the overall message that we are conveying today with Thales is that how can we get more from the existing asset base? And this is also the reason why we are today thinking about introducing return on capital employed in our incentives, in our management incentives. So in terms of definition of return on capital employed for Thales, it's quite a simple indicator. This is income from operations, of course, post-restructuring, post-purchase price allocations, and of course, post-tax. And we compare this level of operating profit to the level of capital employed being tangible plus intangible assets, and intangible assets mean also goodwill. It means also a PPA. So this is a full capital employed, integrating also working capital and also net deferred tax. Of course, and by the way, as opposed to other groups, we do not take into account pension liabilities being a reduction of capital employed. Now, when you look at figures, you see that Thales stands quite favorably against most of our peers. You see with a return capital employed at 20%, which is, by the way, much above the cost of capital of Thales, we rank among the best. And I would say quite significantly above other peers. And behind that, the fact that when you look at figures, you realize that we have much less assets than many other companies. In particular, we have much less goodwill, much less PPA, and of course, much less capitalized R&D than some other groups. Now, and this will be the final page of this financial review. Our capital structure and cash allocations. We have, at Thales, a strong capital structure. And this is being reflected by the level of cash on our balance sheet. You see in the top left, in excess of 1 billion euro. This is important for us. This is important because we raise on an annual basis large amount of bank guarantee. This allows us to get cheap financing, cheap financing also when we raise debt. And last year, in the beginning of 2013, we managed to issue 800 million euro bonds with an average coupon of 2%. So clearly quite a good and cheap financing that is also driven by this strong capital situation. This is recognized by rating agencies, which today clearly recognize this level of liquidity. We intend to continue keeping a very sound capital structure at Thales. Now, we also recognize the need to increase the return to our shareholders, and hence this quite significant move that we did this year with the increase of our payout ratio, moving from 30% to 35%, and this resulting in a level of dividends that has been increased by more than 40% in 2 years' time. So clearly, strong capital structure, increase in dividend payout ratio, and ultimately keeping flexibility to consider potential targeted acquisitions wherever it makes sense. And today I guess that we'll be able to comment about Life TV, which is another type of acquisition that we consider at Thales. And basically, the quality of our capital structure allow us to make, I would say, focus move with this type of moment. So this is what I wanted to share with you this morning. What I suggest is to leave the floor to Patrice, and then we'll open the combined Q&A sessions before the break. Thank you very much.